February 16th, 2016. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflug.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. It's February. Love is in the air. It's Valentine's over the weekend. Did you do anything special?
Of course. All the special things.
All the romantic things. That's what our wives expect of us.
And I got up the next morning and dressed up like George Washington, put my wooden teeth in. It was exciting.
President's Day, right after Valentine's Day. It's very, very good. You can go out and buy a mattress.
That's right.
That's what I know about President's Day.
The best time, I guess, right?
I guess. That's what the... If TV has taught me anything, it's that you buy a mattress on President's Day. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week, and you and I both sat down and watched Amy, the Amy Winehouse documentary, which is now available on your Amazon Prime.
At no additional cost.
Yeah, go to amazon.toomuchscrolling.com and pick that one up.
Okay, so I watched it. I did not have a huge history of Amy Winehouse. It seemed to be sort of a dark age as far as my music awareness, and I found out she had two albums. And this is sort of the rise from a young person who wanted to be a singer and told the story of ultimately her death. If you did not know, she passed away.
And that is kind of hovering over the whole story, isn't it? That's the overwhelming thing, is this is a sad story. We're trying to tell this biography, but I get this sense of this foreboding doom throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, it seemed like she was kind of popping and... In my opinion, I think ultimately the shame that we get to is that, boy, she really would have enjoyed an album recording maybe in Nashville, maybe enjoyed an album recording maybe in New Orleans, you know, kind of gone around some different places and experimented. But she never got that opportunity because she passed away. She had an addiction. I don't know how any person would ever say, you know, let's do heroin. Mm-hmm. But, you know, heroin was part of it, cocaine or crack was part of it, and, you know, alcoholism. And when she would quit one, she tended to gravitate to the other one. And in between here, we get a little bit of the story of her parents and her background, her friends, her manager. And, you know, there was something there. It kind of hit. But it did not quite get a chance to flower. I think that's the story. Was it interesting? It was all right.
I have to say that I gave up on it about halfway through. I got about an hour's into it, and it wasn't grabbing me. There's not a story there other than this impending doom. I know her father tried to get her to go to rehab, and no.
She said no, no, no.
Right. That's that's all I got out of it in the first hour.
Actually, her father said she didn't need to go to rehab.
Right. That's right.
And she took that as being okay.
Right.
And there were times that she was clean, but then she would fall back in. She fell in love with this guy, and they didn't have they had a good relationship in the sense they cared for each other, but they also had a dependency relationship where they did drugs together. There was one really sad statement that was part of this, is I think she had won the Grammy at that time. And the statement she made, somebody asked her, did she enjoy that time? And she said, I didn't enjoy it because I wasn't on drugs. I mean, specifically, like, that was the story. And what a sad, sad time. One of the things I immediately thought of is Alice Cooper, who was rising, had an addiction issue. And if you know Alice Cooper, or you know the story, Alice Cooper one day said, listen, I'm going to kill myself if I continue living this alcohol, rage, drug lifestyle. So he picked up golf, and Alice Cooper plays golf everywhere he goes. And that type of personality needs an outlet, maybe. And that was what I immediately thought of is, oh, it's too bad she didn't run into Alice Cooper and picked up golf or something.
Or whatever it is, whatever that you need to get through your day, that personality that needs something.
Sure. Some people are collectors. Mm-hmm. Some people have to have activities they do. But it really, for a person who was at the beginning of their artistry, showed a lot of promise. You know, you hit a few things here and there.
Certainly had a beautiful voice. She certainly had a talent that I don't know music very well, but I liked listening to her in this.
I won't say that. I think there was something there. Mm-hmm. She had a style to her, but, you know, I... you're talking about a person, I haven't spent a lot of time listening to her albums. Mm-hmm. There was something there, but I don't know if the true voice had really been able to develop. And, you know, if you really think about what it takes to be an artist, and as you rise quickly, you know, overwhelming the paparazzi, I don't understand why she lived in her house the way she did, why she didn't move someplace, that there was a barrier between her door and having 50 photographers or 100 photographers when you walk outside. How can you find some semblance of a normal life if you're going to live that way? Anyway, I would recommend this. I found it interesting.
I did not. So if this isn't up your alley, go right for it. I stopped watching this about halfway through, and I switched over to Radio Free Skaro, which is one of the podcasts that covers Doctor Who in this country. And
Doctor Who is this guy?
They're Canadian, actually. So they actually cover Doctor Who in that country, and we listen in this country. And they were live from Gallifrey One, the world's largest Doctor Who convention in Los Angeles this weekend. So I spent a lot of time watching a lot of footage from that convention.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, good stuff. Talking to all these stars, talking to all these people who were a part of this production. Doctor Who's been on the air for 51 years. It's not going to be on the air in 2016. Mm-hmm. So we have to find a way to find new information from them. And the conventions are one way to do it. Chicago TARDIS comes up at the end of the year in November, and I'll be there.
So what did you learn?
I learned that these people who do these conventions love the adoration of the community. We have such an interesting, tight-knit community. We love talking to each other. We love sharing our love of this show through conventions. C2E2's coming up in Chicago in the next couple of weeks. We've got so many things to share with the people that come to McCormick Place for that one.
Okay.
And
so it's kind of a celebration of all things Doctor Who.
That's what these conventions are, the specific Doctor Who conventions. And then we've got all the other conventions. We've talked about conventions before. I love going to be a part of these communities, even though I don't like people. It's ironic.
Your hatred of people is well noted.
That's right. And since I was on the internet, I decided that I was going to look around, and I went to Crackle. This is the Sony online way to see things, and I sat and watched all of season 7 of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the Jerry Seinfeld show.
And this is where a comedian gets into an automobile, a different automobile. Uh-huh. Usually kind of strange automobile.
Yeah, they show you all the history of each automobile, and each one is different.
And they drive around and they interview each other.
And they go get coffee. It's a show about coffee and cars.
It's a show about nothing but cars and coffee.
It's so entertaining. Comedians have such interesting stories. Comedians have stories about the industry, about life, about stardom, about all these things. Mm-hmm. And they sit and they talk. And it's great entertainment. It's really quick. There are commercials because it is sponsored by Acura.
Okay.
But
And you'll know that by the end, right?
Yeah, that's really the problem with online viewing of things right now, is you get that same commercial every time. I sat and watched all 9 episodes of the live-action Tick from 2001 on Crackle as well.
Good grief.
Yes, I love it. You can make fun of me all you want. I love this stuff. And they had the same one commercial on every normal commercial break for all of these 5 hours that I sat and watched The Tick.
All right, so The Tick was based on a comic. Mm-hmm. I think it originally aired on Fox, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And the gentleman who stars in it, what's his name?
Patrick Warburton.
And he's got the most unique voice ever.
Definitely. And in this, he's doing his impression of the superhero. He's doing the superhero voice. It's kind of an Adam West 1960s Batman, but the character's foolish.
Kind of dry humor.
Dry humor.
All right, and so if you don't know who this actor is, he was also in Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm. He was Putty, the boyfriend in Seinfeld.
And and The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
He was the Conk.
I think that's right.
I think that's his name.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's got a truly distinctive voice.
He's got a great voice.
He plays the great clueless guy.
And we reviewed Ted 2 a week or so ago, and he was in that. And
oh, remember, that's right.
He dressed up as the Tick in Ted 2.
That's right.
And next to him was Michael Dorn, who dressed up as Commander Worf. So that was pretty funny. Crackle's interesting. It's a way to see things that you may have never wanted to see ever again.
So if you have a Roku or you have the Apple TV or any of the Android devices or iOS devices, you can download the app to watch these things too. They're all part of it's one of the new online ways of seeing television.
Yeah, it's the Crackle app, and you can see all these things and see the same commercial over and over and over again. You saw some other movies, though. You saw American Ultra this week.
American Ultra opened last, I think, summer, and it's got Jesse Eisenberg in it. I'm going to say this movie is kind of like Zombieland, but a different genre. So Zombieland dealt with zombies, and this movie deals with the covert CIA sort of agent. They developed the Superman, who now they want to get rid of. And they kind of send him away to West Virginia to live. And then somebody activates him. So that's our story, is that somebody activates him. And then, explosions and violence and everything else happens around him. This was not as good as Zombieland. I didn't mind this film. I think that if you're in the mood for some kind of action, silly comedy with violence, this definitely falls right in that genre.
And this is one of those kids in the shopping center become superheroes kind of stories, isn't it?
Sure, with drugs, because he's a stoner.
Oh, he's one of those. Okay.
Well, that's the way I guess he copes with having his memories erased from him.
Okay.
But anyway, interesting.
Entertaining?
It was entertaining. Certainly, I mean, on 4 stars, I would give it a 2.
Oh.
So it's not great, but
you'd rather watch Zombieland again?
I wouldn't mind watching Zombieland at some point in the future, but this is where Zombieland would be a 4. This is a 2.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying that it's not as entertaining.
I saw a very similar movie. I watched Kingsman: The Secret Service, which is a story of a kid. Mm-hmm. This happens to be a British kid, so it's a slightly different story because we're taking place in London instead of in this country. And this kid gets recruited into this secret service and all the James Bond-ish sort of adventures that happen after that. Mm-hmm. I like that one. We've talked about this one a few times.
We have. Mark Brandt from Dork40.com was a guest of ours. He had talked about the comic as the movie was being released in theaters. I saw this actually with my mother in October, and I will agree. This was a movie that I enjoyed. Very similar, different genre, James Bond type film. Mm-hmm. It was a good film. Fun.
And the really fun film, you went out to the movie theater and you saw Deadpool.
Yes, I did see Deadpool. I had a meeting on Friday and I had to meet it. And it was at the theater.
Nice.
And not that if you called me, I was available. But no, I saw Deadpool. And I had a whole demographics around me. I had moms and sons. I had retirees. But it was a very, very fun movie. So this movie was definitely earned its rated R. They sent out a notice that if you have kids and they're going to beg to come see this, don't send these.
Don't bring your kids to this movie. This movie is not intended for those kids.
And I won't give any spoilers away, but these are the things I'll say. The opening scene where the credits are delivered is very, very funny.
Okay.
Because they're not releasing the names of people. They're just releasing, like, some good-looking person.
Just a description. Just a tongue-in-cheek description of these people.
Some jerk that just directed this. And anyway, if you catch it, there's all sorts of little Easter eggs in there. The coffee cup will have Rob Liefeld.
Nice.
He was the guy who originally created this character. I had no experience with Deadpool in the past. It's not, it came out after I had read comics. And, you know, it's just not something that was interesting to me. Ryan Reynolds absolutely was spot on in making this an enjoyable, fun, farcical, violent film. It is something to laugh at, and definitely they spoof the genre of superhero movies.
Just like The Tick. The Tick is a spoof of the genre of superhero movies while still being a superhero movie. I like that sometimes.
One of the nice scenes that happened in it was there's a scene where Deadpool comes in, or Ryan Reynolds' character comes in, and he is being told by the bartender to go meet this person over at a table. And I think the bartender said something like, well, this is important to the plot or something of that nature. So they're always winking at you as you're watching this film. Very, very fun.
All right.
And they've already announced that there'll be another one coming out.
Really? Mm-hmm. So would you watch this one again? Would you, when it comes out on video, are you going to watch this movie again?
Sure.
Really?
Sure. Yeah. I would see this one again.
That is surprising to me.
I haven't seen Avengers again since it came out last.
I've still never seen that. Avengers Part 2.
I have not seen Ant-Man again.
I've never seen that.
Okay. So, you know.
You would think I like comic books. I do. I like comic books and I like comic book movies, but I have not seen those two movies.
Well, I don't think that you'll be disappointed if you saw those films. This is its own special universe. This supposedly fits in with the X-Men universe. Mm-hmm. For with Fox.
The Fox version. And we'll see how that works.
Ryan Reynolds was very, very funny. I recommend this film. My wife said she would watch this. If it comes out on Blu-ray or something like that, or comes out on a streaming service, I'll probably end up watching it again.
My wife went out to the theater to watch this one and took our teenager, and she enjoyed it very much.
There are sexual situations in there, just to let you know.
All right, so be aware. Take your teenagers as long as they are ready for that. I'm not taking the 9-year-old. The 9-year-old and I hung out, and we didn't go to this movie while mom took the teenager.
Well, it's rated R, yeah. So parents would have to make your judgment call.
That's right.
And it earned its rated R.
Okay. Opening this week, you found a documentary called Crazy About Tiffany's. This is a documentary about Tiffany and Company, all about jewelry.
That's right. Well, lovely. It's not really about jewelry. I think it's a little bit about marketing, about creating an aura. And there are a few things that are available out there that are as iconic as Tiffany's. So that blue, there's a particular sort of aqua blue, that powdery aqua blue color. Hmm. If you had a box and you delivered it, it screams, that's from Tiffany's.
Hmm.
There's a glamour, you know, if you've read Breakfast at Tiffany's or you saw the movie, there's a whole sort of mythic part that's part of this. I'm not a jewelry person. I guess there are people who are. And Tiffany's is a place that you go for the artistry of jewelry. And this is a documentary about that. This looks interesting to me. I can't wait for it to come streaming. I'll watch it at that point.
No, I won't. The other one is called Risen. This is a Easter kind of story about a guy who is risen from the dead in the Bible.
I've heard this story before.
I think we've heard this story before. And this is just another retelling of that story, you know, with our new technology. And this one has a different viewpoint.
Well, we're going to be looking at from the eyes of a soldier.
Hmm.
And a soldier at the death of Christ, and he is, I guess, he may be part of the group that buries him and seals the tomb, and he's supposed to guard it, but the tomb is open and Christ is gone.
Hmm.
And so this is definitely going towards the Easter audience.
Right.
The whole story seems to be him chasing down that, where is this corpse? What happened? And he is supposed to be the non-believer who comes to a revelation towards the end.
Hmm.
So this definitely, there's an audience for this.
Sure.
And if you've seen The Passion in the past or any of the other movies that usually come out.
There's a lot of good Bible-based movies, and this seems to be going for that same crowd, and it'll probably reach that same level. It's certainly not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is still on TV every Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that one is something to look out for. The other one, and I'm really intrigued by this one, the third movie that's coming out this week is called Race. This is the story of Jesse Owens at the 1936 Olympics, where he decided to go and face, you know, Germany and the rise of Hitler in the 30s.
This looks like a great film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's along the lines of Ali from a few years ago with Will Smith, or maybe at 42... The Jackie Robinson story.
That was a great movie.
This is the Jesse Owens story. And this is, you know, if we think of this is right before World War II. This is after the rise of Hitler. Hitler wanted to show off Germany. And, you know, at the point they were looking for the pure Aryan race and a number of things. And here we have this gentleman who's really not a true equal here in the United States. Who is just a phenomenal athlete who goes over and basically wins. So this looks like a fun movie with a little historical bent to it.
There's so much epic to the story of Jesse Owens, to the face the evil and to be the symbol and to be not held up as a hero at the time, maybe.
Well, we have this quote that I pulled out from Jesse Owens. He goes, after he won the Olympics, he goes, "Although I wasn't invited to shake the hands of Hitler, I wasn't invited to the White House to shake the hands of the president either." Mm-hmm. And that really shows the time of that, the time he lived in, and just, you know, how far we've moved from that. I mean, just a few weeks ago, President Obama invited the Golden State Warriors. And I don't know if you saw that, but he made it funny. He basically turned to Stephen Curry and talked about how great the Chicago Bulls were.
Oh, that's funny.
And Michael Jordan.
That's funny.
But anyway, and Stephen Curry is changing the game the way Jordan changed the game, the NBA ball game. But anyway, this looks like a great film. I'm going to go see this week.
Excellent. Brings us to our appetizer app of the week. And boy, UC Berkeley puts out some interesting concepts, and they've put out a new one. This is called My Shake and also My Quake. It's a smartphone-based seismic network where people with their phones, with all of the different sensors that we have on our phones that we have across the world now, they can take and see information about earthquakes.
It's sort of like the ultimate big data project. Mm-hmm. Where you have this app on your phone, it's collecting data. If we look about Saturday, there were two back-to-back earthquakes in Oklahoma. And while the Oklahoma people say, well, they were not big in on the historic level,
right,
for Oklahoma, they were big.
Right.
And to have those be able to be registered. And then we also had the big one down in Taiwan that there was, I think, 116 people they've reported at the time of our recording have passed away. Mm-hmm. And that was a much bigger one. But this week there was an article that where they were talking about big data, that they're not really interested in what Steve and Chip do on a day-to-day basis, but they're interested in how a large segment of people and collecting the data to see how
the data changes.
How can we use it?
And how we can use it to make our lives better. Big data is frightening to some, and it's amazing to look at when we can collect it, and it's relatively easy to collect using apps like these.
Well, and how many people have smartphones? I mean, it's just amazing where you can get this information now.
And UC Berkeley has always been good at finding those computers, finding that way to use a tiny piece of all of those computers to make one giant supercomputer. Did you ever use SETI at Home from Berkeley?
I did not.
I did. When we first were in the era of PCs and everybody had a computer and there was so much idle time on that computer, SETI at Home utilized that idle time to process the data that was being collected from the radio telescopes here on Earth and looking at all of space and seeing if we could find some semblance of another civilization out there.
So we send out radio waves out into space.
This is searching for waves of sound emanating from other parts of space. We know that we are radiating radio waves, sound waves, and spectral things. Mm-hmm. And what if there's another planet out there that's doing the same thing? This was searching for those signals.
Well, that's where Independence Day comes in later on this year, right?
Sequel to Independence Day. I'm all in on that. I will watch that, even though Will Smith's not involved. Even though Will Smith's not involved, I'll still be all in on that.
Is Harry Connick Jr. going to be back?
I honestly don't know.
I don't either.
That's a good question. I guess we'll find out in July. Brings us to our book of the week. And I've been reading all sorts of crazy things, you know me. And one of the ones that I picked up was Dean Koontz's Frankenstein. This is a series of books. I've gotten through the first one. I started it on the second one. Dean Koontz is pretty well known for the horror genre.
Sure.
Very similar to Stephen King, but very different at the same time. Stephen King is more of a thriller, where Dean Koontz is more of a gory exploration of gross things. So Frankenstein is an interesting way for him to make a story.
Now, so this is not a retelling of the original book.
This is a continuation of that original story.
And tell me a little bit about it.
This is the story of Victor Frankenstein living in the 21st century.
So he did not pass away.
Right. He's still around from 1818.
How would he do that?
Well, he's got all this ability to bring dead things back to life, and he's found the ability to stay alive himself, and he has been building more creatures since that first one
and refining the process that came from the original
using all of that new technology that we have available to us today. So he's been doing this for 200 years and society is full of his creatures.
And they don't go away.
And they don't die, and they don't go away, and they've gone into every aspect of society. There's a politician, there's a police officer, there's a priest, and we find out all of these creatures are all interacting with each other on a level that we don't know about.
Now, is this what they're using as the basis of the book? I mean, for the movies coming out? The Universal? No.
The Universal Victor Frankenstein is a retelling of the original Mary Shelley.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a very different genre. Dean Koontz does this. Dean Koontz takes something that's been written, something that's been made, and makes it his own.
This sounds like it would be better than the Universal movies project.
I think so. The Universal movies with the monsters coming back and being rewritten, reborn, I'm really hesitant. I have not seen any of them, and that says something.
Well, the Netflix fairy may bring them to me. You never know.
Yeah, that might be on that level at some point. Brings us to our And Now the News. There's so many things happening around the world and the universe. First news story is that we have confirmed that there are gravitational waves around black holes just like Einstein predicted. This was a big story this week.
And Einstein from his grave is going, ha ha.
I'm not sure that he's going, ha ha. I think he would be amazed that we actually got to the scientific point where we could actually confirm this.
Where we could measure it. It sounds like there were two different, one's in Louisiana and the other one is maybe in the state of Washington. And they used those different, I guess, wherever they're reading these waves to show, whatever flexing of the earth, whatever, however small it is, they were able to measure it.
Boy, this is the all scientific tech episode where we have all of these interesting things that we may not even understand because they are on such a different level.
Well, you're measuring on such a minute level of something. And it sounds like it takes two forces out in somewhere in the universe. Two events happen. They create these waves. And they send them through. I'm going from what I remember from Brian Greene explaining this, that the Earth somehow flexes a little bit. Now, the example they used was this massive flex. But no. We're talking about small. And that's the reason why it was so difficult to be able to measure this. And we finally did. So what an amazing time we live in that we could have someone predict something or say it should be there, and think about how long it took to be able to show how it works.
The technology and the science of these things, this is the all science episode. Just the new technology being applied to these old ideas and proving them or disproving them. Mm-hmm. The idea that there are still mysteries out there to be solved.
Isn't that science?
It's science. It's amazing. Speaking of science, you found a story about a frozen rabbit.
Well, I thought of this, and I saw this, and I immediately thought of your desire to be Walt Disney, to experience
Walt Disney,
experience cryogenics, come back one day, and it looks like they've successfully frozen a rabbit,
and they think that they have a perfect physical preservation of this rabbit in this frozen state.
Well, it looks like that this is the beginning of cryogenics. You know, Steve gets sick, they pickle him, then they bring him back when they figured out how to save him.
Yeah, I don't know that I really want that. I don't know that as I'm sick, preserving me and then bringing me back when science catches up with the sickness is something that I really want.
So you're not down with the sickness?
It's a completely different movie. It is intriguing. The idea, we don't know what life is. We have tried so hard to figure out how the brain works. I mean, back to Victor Frankenstein.
Well, we've determined that plants have feelings, mm-hmm. that trees talk to each other. My goodness, everything is living.
Everything is
except
living.
Except for a rock.
I got a rock.
So if you've always wanted to be a dog, this is your opportunity to see what science can do for you. Because if you've ever been around a bunch of dogs, what do? They smell each other. Yeah. They're like behind each other. Well, it looks like that we've just created or just found out there is a way that they can smell your urine and they can tell whether you have prostate
and by
cancer.
They, you mean scientists, not dogs.
Scientists. Or
dog scientists.
Exactly.
Dogs in little lab coats. Little clipboards.
Exactly. Come in, Mr. Fodor.
I usually get a CAT scan. Oh, don't worry about that. Of course, it would sound like Brian from Family Guy.
In the past, there was an invasive procedure that they would have to do, but this is a new way of being able
detecting
to tell.
Prostate cancer. Very interesting. The science of smell. In New Hampshire, there was a primary last week, and Google searches have pretty much made it so that we don't have to bother with the voting system. We just have to do some Google searches, and the Google searches mirrored the results from New Hampshire.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting and frightening.
Well, there's part of this. They were releasing that information as it was becoming available. And the past where they have delayed releasing or maybe not have the capability to release it immediately. The interesting part about it is that they've shown that they can predict who the winner will be based on those searches. The future way of thinking about this is if you're releasing that information immediately, mm-hmm. are you skewing it? You know, if the desire to back the winner, would that mean that you know, Steve and Chip are looking at that and go, oh, we need to go and vote if we haven't voted because we want to back the winner, right? Or something of that nature. I don't know. I don't know if information is bad to have, but it is interesting that what it could do in the future.
And the timeliness does make it an interesting conversation about, do we need to know this information before we go into the voting booth, or is it something that we need to discover after?
If we could go back to a long time ago in the ancient Greek way, where we all drop marbles in. You drop white marbles and black marbles, and white means, you know, yes, and black means no, for my example. If you knew every time, you know, a person dropping in a marble, you know,
there's a big tally board outside the...
Yeah, if they could say yes or no to mm-hmm. something, would that influence your ability, your vote? And maybe it will. Because if one no vote, for my example, went in, you know, all of a sudden could the flood of no votes come in also? Mm-hmm. Or if it all was yes, would that remain yes? You know, like I said, I haven't thought about this deeply to articulate this argument. But I'm wondering if it could have an ability to skew something.
Yeah, we don't know. And, you know, technology we've talked about in voting for a few years now, and technology has certainly changed the way we vote. And mm-hmm. is it changing the way we think about voting? Maybe it is, and we need to keep tabs on that. Keeping tabs on driverless cars was on the list of things to do this week, and the U.S. vehicle safety regulators have said that a car, even though there is no person driving, can be certified as a driver. The machine that does the driving is, by definition, a driver, and if that machine can pass the test, they can be certified as a driver.
Well, this is really big news for Google. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk said that within 2 years, they'll have self-driving cars that are available. So, you know, this for Tesla, this is a big deal. Or for any other the automated services that are going to come out. This is kind of a big news. We're creating the law,
right,
that will allow this to happen.
Yeah, technology always goes faster than the law, and the law has to catch up. And this is one of those cases where the law has to catch up pretty quick because this technology is right around the corner.
Sure.
And it could drive right over you. AT&T is starting to test their 5G wireless. Here we are, 2016, time to move up from 4G LTE to the new 5G hotness. And they are saying that they could see speeds between 10 and 100 times faster than what we have with 4G today.
Well, in fact, the interesting part, they said moving from megabytes per second to gigabytes per second. Mm-hmm. And think about your download, what you can download at that point. These networks were originally designed for voice. They've quickly moved to data, and now it's more data. Mm-hmm. And if you think about what our kids are doing, why you have a cell phone, that ability to download music and pictures and upload that stuff also.
And to watch Crackle.
Crackle.
That's what the internet's for. So exactly. I can watch TV shows from 15 years ago.
Exactly.
And comedians in cars getting coffee. CBS is introducing a new Star Trek coming up pretty soon here on CBS, and they have named their showrunner. It is Brian Fuller, who is pretty famous for doing quite a few shows before this and really brings a little more darkness to the idea of Star Trek.
The dark Star Trek.
Hopefully not too dark. Hopefully not DC level darkness.
Do you bleed?
Yeah. That's not what I want from my Star Trek. But I also don't want the campy 1960s Star Trek. I want somewhere in between, a new Star Trek for a modern age. This has some high hopes for it, I think.
And they're going to release the first few shows on network television.
Right.
And then it's going to move right strictly to the app.
Yeah, they're going to go all online with this show after the first few episodes.
That will be interesting.
It will be intriguing.
We have a lot of tests coming up. We have the Hulu with the 11/22/63,
yeah.
And the numbers of that should be coming out shortly. We have the Star Trek series that will be coming out through CBS direct only app at some point. And, you know, obviously the numbers for HBO have been very, very high. The question is, when you buy into a service, will the person remain for long periods of time? And, you know, Netflix has shown pretty good numbers on that.
Yeah, Netflix keeps growing and growing. The other services are playing catch up to Netflix. They are ubiquitous, and all of the others are catching up.
Which brings us right to Apple.
Apple wants to be in this race, and they are going to start making TV shows, and they have announced that their first TV show is going to feature Dr. Dre.
All right. We'll see how it works.
I'm intrigued by this. I don't know what it's going to look like.
I don't know a lot of information about
it. Is it a Dr. Dre sitcom? Is he going to be tripping over the ottoman on the way in?
I think the interesting part about this is why a company like Apple would get involved in something that potentially, not this show, but any of the shows, if Netflix brings out a show and it's controversial, you know, Netflix can go through this. Apple sells hardware.
Right.
Apple sells computers.
It's a computer
stuff.
Company.
Do they really want to go through something that potentially could you know, it's now time for a very special blossom?
Yeah, I have the same question with Apple getting into the car business. Are they a car company? Should they be in the car business? Are they a TV show making company? Should they be in this business?
Well, cars is different, in my opinion, because it's hardware. And they are in the hardware business. And if you think of automobiles, or redefine automobiles as hardware, I could see them entering this arena. And I do think that we're going to start seeing, eventually, players dropping out. We're already seeing brands being dropped. But could we start seeing big players dropping out also and just moving to a few makers? And, you know, companies like Tesla and Apple and any number of startups could come in and disrupt that industry quite a bit. But getting into entertainment, it's much more subjective. And Dr. Dre has a huge following. I'm sure he's part of the ownership of Apple. It's just interesting that this is the place they would go first. But anyway, so be it.
There's going to be a new Harry Potter book, Chip.
Well, you know what? We already talked Doctor Who. If we could just add a Star Wars story at some point in this cast, I think we're hitting them all. Because, you know, Harry Potter, the play's coming out in London.
Right.
The two-part play.
The Cursed Child.
And that takes place right after the events of the Deathly Hallows.
Hmm.
So what do we have? We have a book that's coming out, and this is a canon book. This is part of the Harry Potter canon, written by Rowling, along with a few other people.
That was going to be my first question. Is this being written by J.K. Rowling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Good for Harry Potter. A lot of people like the Harry Potter.
That'll be a lot of fun. When it comes out, this will be a big seller. And we'll see if we're able to move beyond the original story.
Star Wars has done it, so why not Harry Potter?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Speaking of Star Wars, hey, look, we got some Star Wars stories, Chip.
What?
Okay, so this is for the really deep Star Wars nerds. There's a character in the cantina in Star Wars A New Hope 1977 called Bo Sheck. And he is the guy that tells Kenobi where Han Solo is in the bar. He says, yeah, over there.
So get your Blu-ray, DVD, VHS, whatever format you have it on.
And pause it really quick on this one scene. The interesting part of this story is that everybody forgot who this actor was who played this part.
So he was in this movie.
He's in this movie.
And he did not have his, in the credits, it didn't say Bo Sheck, you know, by John Smith.
Nope. No credit at all for this character. And the Star Wars fans are hugely into absolutely knowing everything. There's encyclopedias and wikis written about everything.
And he had a whole history of conventions he could have been at.
40
raking
years
in the
later,
dough.
40 years later, they have finally discovered the man's name. How do you lose this actor's name for 40 years? The production company didn't know who they wrote the check to for this guy? So 40 years later, they find out, using pictures, who this guy was. His name was Francis Alfred Basil Tomlin. That's a lot of names.
That is a lot of names.
And unfortunately, they contacted his family, and his daughter reported that he passed away 11 years ago.
Like I said, he missed out all those conventions.
All this
signing
Star
all
Wars
those
money.
Pictures.
All that Star Wars fame, and this guy, how do you lose this guy's name?
I don't know.
Lose my number. Okay. I don't know
this
how
film's
this
not going anywhere.
That's right.
I'm going to this island and never seeing anybody again.
I don't get it. I don't know how we lose a person for 40 years.
But we have some great news, don't we?
Yeah, the good news is that episode 8 has begun principal photography. It is shooting its way into our hearts.
There you go. Good dreams for everybody.
Oh, I'm so ready for another Star Wars. I'm excited about Rogue One, but I am extra excited about episode 8. I want to see the continuation of that story.
What if you were visiting Chicago, Steve? What would we be doing?
Oh, if we were in Chicago right now, which we are, we should go over to the Art Institute's River North recreation of Van Gogh's bedroom. The famous, iconic bedroom from a lot of Van Gogh paintings, and they made one for us.
Well, that's because they have an exhibition going on right now where they brought in this painting.
Mm-hmm.
And they have recreated the painting, or Airbnb did, that you can actually rent out this room. And you can, stay in a recreation of it.
Live in a painting.
It's only $10 a night.
$10 a night?
I think they underpriced that.
I think they could have made more money on this.
It included tickets to the show.
To stay the night in a painting. This is like Disney World stuff. This is like going to Epcot and going to see Germany without going to Germany.
Listen, if you're going to advertise, go big. And what do we have? The Art Institute and Airbnb putting together a dream room.
I'm intrigued by the concept of Airbnb. I think I would stay in a place.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. By the way, if you go to our show notes, you click through and you can actually see this this room that they recreated. It is. It's awesome. It really is kind of fun.
Yeah. People are amazing. There's so many creative people in the world. That's what you should learn from today's episode, boys and girls. There's so many creative people in the world and so many great scientists. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think,
Only
Chip?
If we can come back next week.
I think we can. I think the scientists in Star Wars will let us move on toward the next episode. If you need more information, you can go to our website, toomuchscrolling.com. Send us an email, toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, sort of. Not really, because we're old. And you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com, every day of the week and find out all the information you need to survive another day. Thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future.